We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, you hear the ads playing during the break, right? Just responded to another inquiry a moment ago. Well, here's the deal. Right Side, we are a standalone business. The stations you may be listening to us on live right now, they don't own us. We own our content and we send them our show. And part of the way we sustain operations, like any business does, we have to have revenue streams, is through advertising. And so if you are thinking, hey, I'm a Right Side ruffian, I got a business, I sell goods or services, and there's a whole bunch of Right Side ruffians listening to that show, tens of thousands, we're told, through all our stations. You might want to consider you got a captive audience of ruffians who might rather buy from another ruffian. So here's my proposal to you. Check it out. Just check it out. Send us a message at rightsideradio.org. You don't call the station. You contact us directly. Send us a message through our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org, advertising tab. Send us a message. Lauren from Right Side will be in touch with you ASAP. And I happen to know for a fact we got another inquiry today. I just sent it to her and she says, I'm on it. So anyway, just letting you know, you can advertise to a captive audience of ruffians. Rightsideradio.org. Send us a message. All right, we're going to jump onto a new topic here. Dipper number two. Don't forget, by the way, coming up top of the hour, we'll switch over to the Grand Council. In harm's way, anybody who's listened to the show for more than a minute knows that I've got a real heart for the military. I am super frustrated with our senior leadership in the military. I'm super frustrated with our current commander-in-chief. But the rank-and-file military is still the best in the world, and I believe that with all my heart. All my years of service, my family, I've still got family in active service right now. This is going to be a show that we're going to honor the men and women who serve in uniform on this show at all times. That being said, part of honoring them, too, is not just letting things slide. Part of honoring them is making sure that we call things out. And I think that's an important piece. The other part, I believe, that's important is reminding folks what it is they're doing. Because it gets so easy for us to just see the news headlines and go, well, we're not at war in Afghanistan anymore. Next. It's bigger than that. Right now, if you serve in uniform, you could be in any one of the hemispheres. You could be in any one of the different commands that are, you know, taking geographic command of certain parts. You have CENTCOM, you have NORTHCOM, you have, you know, AFRICOM, you have EUCOM. All these different commands have a different section of the world, and every one of them has active missions going on. Some of them are in what I would call friendly quarters, where they may be just doing things, not just, but doing things that require like training another country or, you know, providing a training, you know, joint exercise. But there are some right now that without any fanfare at all, without a great deal of knowledge of the general public, are literally in harm's way. And I don't mean just the special operators who do secret missions on a regular basis, because those happen every day too. I'm talking about the average Joe and Jane who puts on boots. They're out there doing stuff right now that is pretty friggin' scary in some locations. And sometimes it's even being said they're not there. Or for that matter, they're really not, you know, involved. I got news. If they're there, they're involved. And here's the other thing. When they're there, they're also away from their family and friends. They're away from the things they love. To do stuff with the person who serves on their left or right, and to make sure they all come home, they have to make the sacrifice at the very least of being away. But I want to point out some stuff that's happening right now that I just think that it's important that we not forget. Like, for instance, Gaza. Oh, we don't have troops in Gaza, do we? Do we? I question. Well, yeah, but they're not shooting at us. I mean, we're over there. If we're there at all, we're helping, right? Really? They're not shooting at us? Here's the thing. I want you to think back to Mogadishu, Black Hawk Down, the Battle of Mogadishu, Somalia. We lost a host of special operators in the Battle of Mogadishu. How did that mission start? That mission started and then began to be, we learned the term mission creep. That mission started by trying to secure aid for a broken country. And then when the aid was being shipped in, the aid was being ransacked by warlords and by people who were, it was not getting distributed evenly. So the next thing began to be, let's secure the aid. And then pretty soon we have an airhead there. And next thing you know, we have a base there. And the next thing you know, we're deciding we have to catch the warlords who are doing this stuff. And next thing you know, we got the Battle of Mogadishu. And then the next thing you know, we had the most disingenuous pullout I've ever seen. Oh, we got shot up. We better leave. That's how Mogadishu started. Story on the Army Times, Dateline yesterday. Gaza aid peer mission involving U.S. troops is off to a chaotic start. Notice that it said U.S. troops because they're involved. So an effort involving the U.S. military to surge much-needed humanitarian aid to the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip is off to a chaotic start. Aid trucks are being overrun. At least one person feared dead over the weekend, prompting a pause in the aid distribution. All right, just to remind you, during his State of the Union address, President Biden announced to the world that he was going to be using military assets to build a floating pier. And this floating pier would be then like basically run up into the beach, and it would be an offloading point for humanitarian aid. Okay, noble gesture. Let's go to the war zone and set up a pier. What could go wrong? Story here on the Army Times says, it involves no U.S. troops on the ground, as the U.S. military efforts have been involving building the massive floating platform and pier that was installed last week. I'll get back to that in a minute. Pentagon spokesman Major General Pat Ryder said Tuesday, the issues have now arisen since the aid was loaded onto NGO trucks departing the marshalling area and then headed toward distribution warehouses in Gaza. But over the weekend, some of those trucks were overtaken by Palestinians. It says only 5 of the 16 aid trucks actually made it to their destination. 5 of 16. We're looking at literally only 1/3, roughly, is actually making it through. We're shipping 500 metric tons of aid. We're building, to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, a floating pier. And right now, they can't even get the aid to the warehouses to distribute because they're getting ransacked and overrun. Civilians watching from the roadsides would clamber on top of the aid trucks, throwing aid down to people. A number of people then began to overrun the aid trucks and their goods. One man was apparently shot. Shots were heard ringing out around the area. Ryder said that as of Tuesday, 569 metric tons of aid had been delivered. Some of it, though, remains in distribution agencies unable to find ways to the warehouse. The World Food Program said Tuesday the pier project may fail unless Israel starts providing conditions for humanitarian groups to operate in safely. Well, it's a friggin' war zone. Israel did not say, hey, would you, by the way, come and park yourself in the middle of the fight? Oh, and then it's our fault if you have trouble? Well, all right, let's look at this. Are U.S. troops in harm's way? Oh, surely not, Phil. They're offshore. Story here from Maritime Executive. Maritime Executive Magazine, April 24th. Report, Gaza aid pier project comes under mortar fire, damaging the equipment. Nobody was hurt, but a number of the pieces of equipment that are used to set it up were damaged. Shoreside construction operations for the U.S. Maritime Aid Corridor to Gaza have come under mortar fire from Palestinian militants, according to his Israeli sources. UN team was there visiting the jetty staging area, And rounds came in. I think it was only 2 or 3 rounds, but there were no injuries. They went to a bunker for some time and then continued the tour. All right. If you've ever been mortared, you know what it feels like. I do, and I can just tell you, it's indiscriminate. It's called indirect fire for a reason. And it comes in, and it just begins to explode, and then whatever's in the way just has to pay the price. Well, that's where we are right now. But then how about this? Second article. This one I pulled off of military.com. Military.com, the Pentagon said Tuesday it believes that none of the hundreds of tons of aid delivered over several days via the military-built pier in Gaza has made it to Palestinians. Really? Yes. Reports indicate the security situation outside the pier area is highly unstable and dangerous. Some of the first loads of aid that were brought in were looted before the aid organizations could even distribute them. On Thursday of last week, Vice Admiral Bradley Cooper, the deputy commander of U.S. CENTCOM at Central Command, all the Middle East, told reporters that the U.S. was looking to move an initial tranche of 500 tons in the coming days. What is less clear, though, is who is responsible for providing the security for the food convoys once they leave the pier area. Aha! Shades of Mogadishu. Beyond some military advisories in Israel and surveillance drones over Gaza, the U.S. military has stayed out of the war zone. Two Navy destroyers were tasked to provide security in the waters around the U.S. aid pier. Oh, so there's two Navy destroyers sitting offshore. How do those drone things work? How did the USS Cole get bombed? Oh, that's right. It was offshore in Yemen, and a small boat came right up to the side, and suicide bombers blew up, killed, I believe, 17 sailors. Listen, don't think for a second that the fact that they're delivering humanitarian aid doesn't mean that our troops are in harm's way. Because they are. The site where they're operating right now is being mortared. They're floating in offshore waters, which is just as risky as the USS Cole was. And oh, by the way, it's dangerous, it's chaotic, and so far it's not even paying off. And how long do we go before the Biden administration goes, hey, didn't we help in Mogadishu? Let's see if we can do that again. And next thing you know, we're pushing inland to try and secure the aid. Let's don't do it. All right, tell you what, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I got a report for you on what's happening in Niger, because this is a big deal. And then how about what happened in Iraq and Syria? Yep, we got troops there too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, I gotta recommend you guys go check out the latest episode of the new Right Philosophy podcast is out. It's on the website, rightsideradio.org. Go check it out under the podcast tabs. You'll see two podcasts on there. One is the show that is replayed again for you in podcast form if you want it. And then the other is also, by the way, the show podcast is going bananas. I mean, we're pushing 250,000 downloads on that thing right now. But the other one is called The Right Philosophy, and the latest episode came out today. It's a video podcast. I film it at home, we're real proud of it. I'd love you to check it out. Go to rightsideradio.org, click on podcasts, and then, click on The Right Philosophy and check it out. I'd like your feedback on it, too, if you don't mind. Okay, continuing with the Dipper. In harm's way. Did you know we had troops in Niger? That's Africa, by the way. Did you know we had troops in Niger? Most folks can't point out Niger on a map. That's all right. Bottom line is, though, you got troops there. We've had upwards of 1,000 troops there over the last, I don't know, decade or more. Here's the thing. As another classic example of Biden's inability to have foreign policy that's effective in any capacity whatsoever, Niger is kicking us out. Come again? Yeah. So it says here on the Army Times, Dateline 2 days ago, after a chaotic months-long saga, the U.S. has begun withdrawing its forces from Niger. The two countries announced their decision in a joint statement on Sunday, after almost a week of military talks. The deadline is September 15th. America has relied on the West African country as a counterterrorism hub for more than a decade. Yeah, AFRICOM has had a major basing there, all right? More than 1,000 personnel, by the way. We spent more than $100 million on an air base near a place called Agadez, Niger. One senior defense official said, "This is not a good outcome. We are leaving Niger after a significant investment and a lot of time invested in that partnership." So what happened was they had a coup last summer. Swapped out the ruling government with a military junta, and that grouping is now really, really fond of Russia. So Russian soldiers are known to be seen all around Niger right now. 1,000 U.S. troops have got to find a way back home, and I say find a way back home. They're going to get them back home. But Niger agreed to protect American forces while they withdrew. Oh, good. And help hasten some of the logistics. The U.S., meanwhile, is going to remove all military personnel from the country, and that's happening as we speak. A major counterterrorism hub in a major unstable portion of the world. We spend $100 million on an airbase, and we're going to leave it all for them. Yay. Yeah, we're not going to crater that airstrip before we leave. No, we wouldn't do that. I could burn down the buildings. No, we wouldn't do that. But we should, because what just happened is we spent $100 million, and for over a decade, we've been training their troops and doing things to benefit that country and also running down terrorists that operate in that part of the world. And now we're losing our boots-on-the-ground capabilities. Meanwhile, we've had 1,000 troops there, and they're being forced out. Because, you know, Biden. How about this one? Story from Time Magazine, Dateline April 22nd, so exactly 30 days ago. U.S. military base in Syria struck by rockets fired from Iraq. Okay, a lot of folks don't realize we actually have troops that are, like, under fire on a regular basis in Syria. Syria, of all places. And you might even wonder, why are we even there? Well, right now, a military base in Syria belonging to a U.S.-led coalition came under rocket fire late on Sunday. The government-affiliated Iraqi security media cell said in a statement, at least one rocket landed at the base. It wasn't immediately clear if there were any casualties. U.S. CENTCOM is yet to comment. This is a month ago. I don't believe there were. I think we had several injuries. And my recollection was three service members were injured. But we also, by the way, did have several that were killed in a separate incident most recently. The attacks are the first against U.S. bases in the region since early February when Washington struck Iran-backed militias in Iraq and Syria in response for a drone assault that had killed three American soldiers in Jordan and was blamed on the U.S. by an umbrella group called the Islamic Resistance in Iraq. Okay, so here's the bottom line. You've got insurgents, you've got ISIS, you've got instability, you've got Syria still fighting. You've got Kurds that are our allies that the Turks actually hate. And all of this makes a very, very restive environment. And yet we have U.S. troops over there right now. Right now we're looking at the group. We actually have roughly 2,000 U.S. forces currently in Iraq, much less the ones that are forward presence in Syria. Be aware. Be acutely aware. All right, they got a couple of text messages that I will take real quick. John C. from Madison says, we need to destroy absolutely everything in Niger and leave nothing usable, including the buildings and the airstrip at our base. I do not disagree, John C. Josh from Hayden says, Josh from Hayden here, thank you for serving. Thanks to all the men and women that continue to serve our great country. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate that very much. Mike from Arab says, fun fact about Mogadishu. Congressman Ilhan Omar's father was a commander of the rebel forces in Mogadishu during Black Hawk Down. I did not know this. Mike, if you got a link to an article that tells me that, I would love to see it. I think that would be an epic thing to bring up on the show in more detail. James from St. Clair texting in says, if people will make the sacrifice to actually arrive, God will too. I've been street preaching around Alabama nearly a decade, and he quotes 2 Chronicles 7:14. Thank you, James. Appreciate you. Thanks for sharing your faith. Allie from Athens says, speaking of Memorial Day, Colonel, I've been trying to call the station to let people know that your illustrious voice is going to be heard live on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Alabama Veterans Museum. Must be a conspiracy that I can't get through. Big Rig, are you answering the phones? All right, listen, we do have Memorial Day slated, and I'll be proud to be the speaker Monday in Athens. All right, coming up next, Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's Senate.